Great. Everybody, just take a little moment to say hello to the people around you. Make sure you know everybody's name. Shake a hand if you haven't done so already. We're going to spend some time just chatting in little groups. So just say a little hello. Make sure you are 100% confident on everyone's name. Okay, great. Well done. Okay, a quick show of hands. Does anybody else do that thing? So I did a thing this week. Like, do you ever like write a letter or an email when you're feeling quite cross about something and you write out a very strongly worded email or letter to somebody and you get everything down on a piece of paper? Anybody ever done that before? Yeah? Anybody ever done the thing where you then read through that and you go, I did that this week with this talk. Not that I was cross at the time. I just want to clarify, but I did feel and do feel very passionately about this subject. So this is very much take two, where you know you like do the second karma draft. Welcome to the calm draft. You'll be pleased to hear we're living in the calm draft. I'm also going to break the habit of a lifetime today, and we're going to start by reading some Bible. I know, how crazy, right? We're going to start with some Bible. Hallelujah. As you may or may not know, at the moment, just in September, we are doing a little mini series where we're just kind of talking and articulating about the vision and the focus of this church. We're just talking about a bit of the behind the scenes stuff, about what it means to be Gloucester Vineyard Church together, a few things that are important to us. And so Em and I have just been picking some things that we feel like God would say to us at the moment, in no particular order. And last week I shared some Bible passages that are really formative to how we started this church, particularly the parable of the lost sheep. And today I want to speak about another passage that's been really formative to me. And I probably speak on this passage at least once a year, usually more often than once a year. I just can't really get away with it. And today I'm going to use it to speak about this passion of mine because I'm so passionate about it. I'm nervous of going off and just splurting my own opinions, which you guys really do not need. So today I want to talk about Jesus, if that's okay. I want to bring back to Jesus, and so we're going to start with Jesus. So this passage that we're starting with is found in a letter by a guy called Paul, who wrote to a little church in a place called Philippi. And we're going to read this little passage. It's right in the center of the letter. It's like the center of gravity for the whole letter. It all revolves around this little poem. It's right in the middle. And Paul is giving the church some instructions about how they should think about themselves, how they should relate to each other, and why. And he says this: "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he didn't think that being equal with God was something that he should cling on to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and took the humble position of a slave. He was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen." If I could like speak on one passage for the rest of my life, it would be that. It's just so rich. So today, in our little gathering, we're going to be talking about leaders. And we're going to be talking about church leaders in particular. And we're going to be talking about what we should be looking for in our church leaders, what sort of characteristics they should have. I wanted to start with this passage, and we'll come back to what it says later, because that for each of us, whether we are called to be a leader or whether we are not called to be a leader, we are all called to live like Jesus. We should all have the same attitude as Jesus, no matter who we are or what we do. But certainly when we're thinking about leaders and particularly church leaders, I think we should expect them to have the same attitude as Jesus did. Now, obviously, I have some serious skin in the game here. I am a church leader. And I don't want to come across at all here during this message as if I have everything pinned down in here. I don't want to pretend that, you know, that I've got all of this stuff figured out. I think hopefully if you guys know Em and I, you'll know that we don't do that thing where we pretend to have everything figured out when we really don't. But because I'm a church leader, and because I love the church really deeply, and this church and the church at large, I think it's really important that we are talking and thinking about this, especially at the moment. It's important particularly because, as we said last week, a key part of this church's vision is to start new communities that spread the love of God and the good news about his kingdom across the country. And so the reality is that as we start those new communities, we're going to need a whole bunch of leaders. That's just the facts on the ground. So the question is, what should those leaders look like? And what kind of characteristics should they have? Does that sound good? We're going to kind of talk about that. So let's start with a little exercise. Let's get the ball rolling. Let's imagine for a moment that we're all going to start a company. We're all going to start a business together. We're all going to put in every penny that we have. And this business is going to have one goal. And that goal is to double our investment in 2 years. Who's with me? Yes? Okay, so we're all going to put in every penny we have. This company's got 2 years to double our investment and give it back to us, okay? So we need to appoint a CEO to run this business. We need a leader to lead this business and achieve that goal. Chez, could you write some things on the board as stuff gets shouted out? That would be amazing. I need to hear from you. We're going to go on a search to find this CEO. Give me some characteristics of what we want this CEO to be. Loved that. That was good. Okay, what do we want? Experience, excellent. What else? Decisive, great, yes. Integrity, humility, okay, yeah. Dedicated, excellent, yep. Honest, okay. So you guys are kind of jumping ahead in my script. Maybe work with me a little bit here. We want this guy to, you know, really make a... So, thank you. I love you, Steve. We want somebody driven, right? We want some drive, yeah? Ambitious, yes. He's got to know Jesus. Yeah, I guess so. But then there's lots of CEOs out there who don't know Jesus, and they could be very effective too. Financial experience, yeah, absolutely. Determined, yeah. Shrewd, yes, very good. Courageous. Charismatic, yeah, absolutely. Bulshy, yeah. I think there's some, you know, blonde-haired, pouty American leaders coming to mind at the moment. Like, you want somebody who's going to go out there with that two-year goal in mind. And for me, but you guys are clearly a lot better at recruiting than I am, because personally, what I want is a bulldozer. If his job, her job, their job, minefield. If the CEO's job is to double our investment in 2 years, personally, I want a bulldozer. I want somebody to go and get that done. Anybody else? Anybody just, yeah, that's the ruthless. There you go. Very good. I kind of need those things sewn in there for the next bit to work. So you'll have to excuse me for just sewing that in there. Sorry to do that. Thank you. Thank you, Jez. That's great. Needs to be an American. Okay, write American down on there. Okay, so here is a list of characteristics. And so what I'd like you guys to do, yeah, there's some hefty question marks after American. So in little groups around you, just gather in little groups of three and four, and I just want you to ask, when we're thinking about church leaders, which ones of these characteristics would you like to see, and which ones would be inappropriate? There you go, see? So get into little groups. And just pick out from here, which ones would you say are appropriate for a church leader? You've got like 1 minute, just go for it. Okay, let's hear some of your answers. So let's say from that board, are there any on there that you feel would be inappropriate for a church leader to be? And qualities? Ambition, okay. Every single one with a question mark afterwards. We've got bulldozer, ruthless, and American. Okay. Yeah? Okay. No ruthless American bulldozers here. Thank you very much. Don't think a church leader needs financial experience? Okay. It's good. Yeah? Okay. So, I mean, just as we are, we're like, when it comes to leading a business, money-driven organization and leading a church, we can identify that there are some characteristics that you'd want in both. Right? And there are some which are just not appropriate when it comes to leading a church. So church leaders should not function in those ways. So ruthless, bulldozer, American. I'm going to allow American. I think it's okay to have an American church leader. I'm just going to put it out there. But maybe like the bulldozer ruthlessness would not be welcome, sure. I'm sure I don't have to tell you that at large, the church has quite an embarrassing reputation when it comes to appointing healthy leaders, especially healthy leaders who manage to make it for the long term. There are unfortunately loads of embarrassing stories that we could tell of leaders who have led like this, ruthlessly and with that kind of bulldozer mentality, with disastrous consequences. Mainstream media, as well as Christian media, is peppered with stories of church leaders getting it wrong and causing people serious harm in the process. You know, just this year, we've had the story of a prominent youth leader in this country who had to be removed from his position after there were substantiated accusations about coercive control and inappropriate sexual behaviour towards those that he was leading. In this city and in Cheltenham, in the last 10 years, we've had examples of church leaders who've had to be removed from their positions by their trustees. And I know that you guys, some of you know those stories. And over the pond in the States and here over in the UK, there are plenty of examples of church leaders who have lost sight of Jesus somewhere along the way and have allowed the allure of money, sex, or power to pull them away from what God has called them to do. And if you want to listen to an example, I can recommend the Rise and Fall of Mars Hill podcast, which is a really interesting example of just that. Now, each of these examples, and I know that there are many more, all of them, these that we can think of, are attended by stories of hundreds and thousands of people who have been hurt and harmed by these leaders and their actions. And I have no doubt that some of us in the room have got stories, personal stories of hurt at the hands of church leaders. Now, as a church leader myself, these stories, they break my heart and they give me really significant pause. As I study these cases, I want to know as much about them as I can because, frankly, I don't want to be included in that company. I don't want to be a cause of harm. I don't want to cause harm through my leadership. And let's make no mistake, I could. I really, really could. These guys that we can think of who have made some mistakes in their leadership. Most of them, they did not set out to hurt people and they did not set out to abuse people. Most of them started with really good intentions and somehow got pulled off course. The reality is that this could happen to any of us. So each of us should honestly check our pride if we think that we're immune to this. If we think that those leaders are them, we're gravely mistaken. They are you and they are me. They are us. They are broken, fallen people doing their best and sometimes getting it very wrong, as we all do. One of my prayers as a leader, and if you are a leader, I encourage you to adopt this, comes from one of the ancient kings of Israel. His name was David, and he prayed a scary prayer, which goes like this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So as a church at the moment, in the wake of some of these stories, we're in a really interesting moment, I think. We're in a moment of reflection, a moment of repentance, of turning around, and hopefully a moment of reformation in the way that we think about and appoint church leaders. And certainly, Emily and I have been paying really close attention to these stories and trying to learn as many lessons as we can. But fundamentally, I think the key here is found in that passage that we started with. That the call for us, but especially those of us who are called to leadership, is to imitate Christ. I'm just going to read it again really quickly. It says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. That's a call to us to imitate Jesus, to recognize the power and the privilege that each of us have, that each of us have been given, to choose to surrender that power and privilege in service of others, to humble ourselves and prioritize service, to not seek our own reputation, to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought, and to remember that we're doing this for God's kingdom and for God's glory. And so today, with the time that we have left, I just want to talk about how this idea lands for us as a church. As I said, we have a big vision for multiplication, and for that to happen, we're going to need lots of leaders. And so I just want to make sure, we want to make sure that when we're identifying and training leaders, we're doing so with this passage in the forefront of our minds. And so what I want to do today is something very different to what we normally do, but I hope you'll go with me. Normal service will resume in October, I promise. I'm going to share with you a little bit of the thought process that Emily and I put into when we're looking to identify and recruit new leaders. And then I'm going to get you guys to have a little discussion amongst yourselves, and then you're going to feedback. So when we, Emily and I, were trained to plant this church, we were given loads of bit of advice and wisdom on how to do it well. And the Vineyard Movement that trained us and sent us out, they love an acronym. Just like the NHS, they love an acronym. And so we were taught two things when it came to identifying potential new leaders. The first thing is that character is more important than gifting. So interesting, we've got experience up on this board over here. Experience, very important, but that no matter how gifted, no matter how experienced, no matter how qualified or well-known those leaders are, their character as a person is far more important than their gifting. And that we need to make sure, if in order to kind of identify that character, we need to make sure that those leaders are fast. And I don't mean quick. The FAST, that's the acronym, F-A-S-T, that we were given four things that we should look out for in potential leaders. And those letters stand for faithful. Do those people do what they say they will do? Available. Do they have the time and make the time to lead? Servant-hearted. Do you see them picking up a mop and a bucket? You know, do they serve as a reflex? And teachable. How do they respond to being taught new things? And crucially, how do they respond to being corrected? So we're really looking for leaders with buckets of character who are faithful, available, servant-hearted, and teachable. And we have stuck to that. We have stuck to that little acronym. Could you just stick your hand up if you are currently or have in the past led something within this church? Just stick your hand up real quick. Don't be shy. Just pop your hand up. Yep. Yeah, yeah. So thanks, guys. So there's these guys. There's other people who aren't here present. If you are being led by someone in our church, it's because we have seen all of those things in those people. But over the years, as Em and I have learned some lessons and rubbed shoulders with some other leaders, we've added three more of our own. Three more things that we look for in everybody who comes through our doors if we think they might be a potential leader. And those letters are HGV. It's really good because together it makes fast HGV. So looking for fast heavy goods vehicles. No. So there's three more things. Does anybody want to hazard a guess what H, G, and V stands for? What kind of characteristics might we want to see in a leader? Hospitable, that's a good guess. It's not hospitable. Humble, there we go, that's H. Hungry, yeah. Hallelujah. Okay, we've got humble, G and V, any guesses? Grateful, that's a great suggestion, but it's not right. Giving, another great suggestion. You guys are great at this. It's not God-fearing, another good suggestion. Gosh, the list could go on. Who said gentle? Yes, you said, you've got the slides. Well done, thanks, Danny. I appreciate that very much. So yeah, humble, gentle, and the V. What do we think the V might stand for? Who said that? Yes, vulnerable. Very good. Thank you, Steve. So three more things that we look for in leaders. Humble, gentle, and vulnerable. So I've done a lot of talking today, and some of it's been quite heavy. So I think I'm going to throw it out to you guys now. What I've done is I've actually prepared some little discussion questions based on the passage that we read earlier on. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to group you into some small groups, and I'm going to give you 5 or 6 minutes to just answer these questions, and then I'm going to ask you for some feedback. And in each of our groups, we're going to be considering that passage and basically asking how Jesus' example should inform the kind of leaders that we should identify. So we've got humble, gentle, and vulnerable, and there's a couple of questions around each. And so could we please split into 6 groups? So I'm thinking like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. If we could make 6 nice little groups. And you're going to have 4 or 5 minutes to discuss this, and then we're going to have some feedback. So form yourself into some nice little groups, and then we'll have a little discussion. Okay, let's hear from some of you guys. So there was two different groups of questions, one about definition and one about something else I can't quite remember. So let's find out what we got. What did you guys have?
Vulnerability.
Okay, so your question you've got is, how would you define vulnerability? How do you know when someone is vulnerable, and what's the opposite of vulnerability?
Yeah, we were a little bit concerned at first because we thought vulnerability implied weakness. And in terms of the idea of leadership, we were like, we're not sure if we like that, vulnerability meaning weakness. But we decided to focus on the idea of vulnerability being the leader recognizes they don't have all the answers and they need the input and participation of others as well. So even Jesus, you know, did that. He recognized, you know, he had his thing he was doing, but the people around him, he brought them in and allowed them to participate with him.
Cool. Yes, very good. Thank you very much. Okay, let's come over here. What did you guys have?
Oh, we had gentleness. And again, similar to you guys, we talked about how it not necessarily equate with weakness, but it's more like having power but using it in kindness and not like abusing, like Jesus didn't abuse the fact that he was God by trying to make himself equal with him.
Yeah, I love that definition of gentleness, of like being like power but under control. Like that's really, yeah, so that's wonderful. You guys over here.
It's exactly the same as what we said about vulnerability.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So vulnerability could be like a way of kind of being human and being community together. Yeah, that's great. How would you guys have?
We had gentleness, and we chatted a bit around trying to discern the difference between gentleness and introversion, gentleness and if you're loud or quiet, and that those things don't necessarily correlate either way. We talked about the opposite of gentleness is like being abrasive, and I don't think we concluded, but we talked a lot about how to define gentleness. Yeah, and we decided it was hard.
Yeah, fair enough. Take home and think about. Very good. Okay, you guys over here, what did you have?
Humility. I'm not going to tell. How would we define humility? Not bigging yourself up, but also not putting yourself down.
So Kiri said a brilliant thing about when it's what does Philippians that passage say have to say about humility? She was bringing out that it's that downward way of Jesus. So every time that you thought he couldn't make himself any less, he did. So he was God. He came as a helpless child, and then even as that helpless child, he had a death, a criminal's death, and just lowered himself even further.
Do you guys want to add anything in? What did you guys had? Humble, I think, didn't you? Anything you'd like to add?
Just that it's the nature of God, isn't it? That God is humble, and we're not to think of ourselves as being better than others.
Brilliant. So, I mean, we could probably talk about this all day, but I hope that's given you just a little bit of a kind of taster of kind of just some thoughts around those questions. And I guess what I'd love to send you guys home with is to just think about those three things: humility, gentleness, and vulnerability, and ask like those questions about, you know, what does it mean for a leader to have those qualities, like. Is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? And yeah, take those things home with you. I hope that something about today has been helpful, encouraging, or interesting. I'm aware that this is a bit of a break from our usual topics, and as I say, we'll get back to normal in October. But I just want to close today, as we usually do, with just a bit of reflection and then a chance to pray together. My own journey as a church leader has been a walk along this path, like to pray that scary prayer that we prayed earlier on. You know, my story is one where God has repeatedly highlighted to me the ways that I can be the opposite of all of those three things. The ways that I am proud, the ways that I have been overly forceful, blunt, and unkind in the name of progress. The ways that I can hide my brokenness from those around me and put up on a show to pretend that I've got everything figured out. You know, these values come very much from our own journey of working through these things as we figure out what it is to lead the church. And so it may be that for you today, one of these values has really stuck out. Maybe one of them has offended you. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, I don't agree. I don't think that leaders should be humble. Maybe the idea of being vulnerable in a church context really scares you. Or maybe you've just never seen a leader exhibiting gentleness as a characteristic. Like, however this lands for you, whatever is going on inside you right now, we're just going to take a moment of reflection and prayer. Because, as I said at the start, this is about us having the same attitude and imitating Jesus. Jesus, who was the ultimate leader, who was God himself in human skin and yet walked with humility. Jesus, who had the power of creation at his fingertips and yet treated people with gentleness. Jesus, who was the most put together and self-sufficient person who ever lived and yet chose to walk through life with friends, sharing his ups and downs, his pains and his struggles, his joy and his pain. You know, he shared his life so vulnerably that he was betrayed and abandoned by his closest friends. And so we're just going to take a little moment now to come to Jesus, and we will just do this in a couple of ways. We're going to have just a minute or two of quiet reflection, silence to kind of just listen to our hearts and kind of settle some of these things in ourselves. And then we're going to gather together in those groups again to pray. And if you'd like to ask for some prayer, then this would be a safe place to do that. And to just kind of pray around the issues that we've been talking about today, however that lands with you. Now, at some point during that moment, the kiddos will come back in again. We'll welcome them. And then we will all celebrate communion together at the end. And again, that's a really great place to kind of reconcile some of the stuff that's going on in your heart, to come to Jesus, take the bread and the wine, and to kind of, you know, make that a kind of embodied prayer as well, to be like, Jesus, will you teach me how to be vulnerable like you were vulnerable? Will you teach me how to be humble like you were humble? So that's what we're going to do. I just want to encourage you to close your eyes as we kind of just observe a moment of reflection, and then I will draw us out of it and we'll pray together.